Let's give the Lord that hand clap he deserves. Come on, one he deserves. Yes. Thank you, Father, for being so kind to us and loving us like you do. Woo! He really deserves another one. Let's give him another one. Hey, thank you, Father. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. You're in charge. Ha. Woo. Good to see everyone today. You believe the Lord's in control? Amen. If you believe that, you may be seated. If you don't believe that, stand until you do. Amen. My feeling right now is that God bless the lights. My feeling right now is that fear, doubt, and unbelief got to go. Amen. We're his kids. And his kids are kind of getting in disorder in our world right now. And if it's producing something that's not the kingdom of God. The beautiful thing about you and I, we can choose today to host God's presence and feel after him. And when you take the time to feel after him, he will suddenly come to his temple, his house. And in coming to his house, he'll take care of all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And today, Lord, we're going to talk about him being a God of promise. And he's our Father. And he didn't make no junk. And he knew what he was doing when he put humanity together. He is a miracle worker. You know, there's good things happening right now. God is bringing ministries together. Amen. Ministries that he's working on. And the beautiful thing about us coming together is that when we come together, he can continue to finish what he started. Now, the challenge is I need you to think like I think. And I need God to work on you where he's working on me. No, that slows the process down. I need what God's doing in your life. Yes, and you may need what God's doing in my life. And together, we get to see him in a new light. Amen? A new revelation. We can't figure God out. We don't know what it truly looks like at the end of this thing. He does. And the only way we can see it is to join with him on his mission. And his mission is you. Amen? It's so important for all of us today for you to be effective in who he designed you to be. Who I am is dependent on who he is. Amen? All of me, all of my identity needs to be lost in his identity. I mean, I need to get a new revelation today of who I really am from his lens. And he's talking to us about that. You know, and what he does is miracles. It's just what he does. And all of us are challenged with pain, trauma, circumstances that are not fair. Life in this world, little L-I-F-E, is the evidence of darkness at work. Capital L-I-F-E is that the light of Jesus Christ pierces the darkness. And he invades, amen, the enemy's camp on our behalf. But we get to see darkness, amen, in a way that, yes, it hurts. Yes, it's not fair. But when the end result happens, we're able to know who he is and who we are from his lens. Amen. It's because of his grace and mercy that I understand who he is. I need it. And I need it today. And now I've fallen in love. The pain that's going on in our world right now causes me to love my world more. The stuff that humanity is going on and being challenged with right now causes me to be stirred even more. Yes, there's a burden involved. And God trusts us to carry that with him. But now I know him more in the fellowship of his suffering. It hurts him that our world is challenged with this fear doubt and this unbelief. And there's conversations that are going on and debates that are going on and arguments that are going on that are not him at all. It don't represent him, but he allows that. He's not doing it. We make conscious decisions that bring consequences. Amen. And here we are suffering the consequences, not because God did anything wrong, but because we made bad decisions. Anybody ever made a bad decision before? And so this life of repentance, and I like to use, amen, this life of changing the way we think, these aha moments that we get that, oh my goodness, wish I'd have known that before I was my age. Anybody ever said that before? And yet, it's the grace of God that we can even have a conversation on how good God's been. He put up with my stuff. He put up with some of the things I carried with me that hurt the people around me. Now, there's never been a day that I got up that I was looking to hurt somebody. I got up with any ill intent. But I got up with baggage. I got up with ideas. I got up with perceptions of God that were not correct. And you know what? He didn't quit loving me. He didn't keep trying to reach me. And he kept working on me a work that's called a miracle. Amen. Changing me from one level. He meets us where we're at. He's meeting our world where it's at. He's already paid the debt. The reason they're still suffering, the reason there's still challenges and there's stuff going on, it's not because it ain't paid off. He saw it happening while he was on the cross. While he was bleeding and dying our death, he saw the stuff happening and he went on ahead and paid that debt too. So the moment that any one of us chooses to take a break, take a time out, and feel after him, he comes suddenly to his house. He becomes that present help that we always need, and we need God. We need a miracle. And he's a God of promise. He started something in you the day that you decided you needed Jesus and you started repenting. He started something in you that he promises he will finish. Did he say it was going to be easy? No. Through much tribulation shall you enter into the kingdom of God. There was going to be trouble on every side. There's going to be stuff going on all the time. But he gives us such an experience with him that we can endure the race. And that experience is the evidence of God's grace and love at work in our life. Not because any of us deserve it, but because he's passionate about each one of us. Anybody ever wish you could fix the world? Get over it. You can't fix the world. You are a world changer, though, because you made a decision one day that you was going to let him come to his house and be king in his house so that from his house he could pour his glory into the earth. And at the end of this thing, we all say together, look what the Lord has done. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but that relieves me that he can do a better job than I can. But yet, he won't do it without me. I pray that what I've just spoken here in these few moments, that it resonates in your spirit and you catch the truth that will make you free. Amen. Are you committed to the process of his eternal work in your life? And that's a question we all need to ask ourselves today. Jesus is a God of promise, and miracles continually follow him in the path of his purpose. God's existence comes with vision. It comes with purpose. In order for his purpose to be fulfilled, miracles follow in his path as he moves. Is anybody a son of the Lord today? Are you a child of God? to join with him on his mission, your life becomes a platform by which he manifests himself. Every breath you take, he wants it to be for him. And I know we can all say amen to that, but to step into that reality, he requires something. And you cannot produce this thing called faith in your own ability. You can't do it. The only way faith comes to anybody here is we have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So the idea that you're going to get smart enough so that God can use you, don't fly. Everything he tells me that's from him, I can't figure it out. But if I trust it, it works. And I've been tempted, my wife will tell you, to try to figure it out and try to explain how God's going to do what he's going to do, and you can't do it. The only thing that I can talk about is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half hadn't yet been told. What did you just say? You know, you want to hang out with him. That's all you want. You just hang out with him. He will blow your mind, and you're not going to be able to explain it. I wish I could tell you more about it. But I'm here today to let you know that we all have hope in him. He's present right now. The dynamic of his Spirit is here. Who will let him work? Who's going to let him? And that means you're going to have to cast down every thought, every imagination, every idea, every philosophy, every rudiment, everything that you think is fact, cast it down. Take your crowns, cast them at his feet so that his mind can get in you. And get over trying to explain God, because it ain't happening. His experience with you, you're not going to be able to explain it. It's bigger than you. And when you're baptized with Spirit and fire, that equals you've experienced God's love. Anybody need God to love on you today? That's why being filled with the Spirit, you know, rather than being filled with wine, the Scripture says, don't be filled with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Because those spirits don't do what the Spirit can do in your life. Catch this. I'm not preaching against anything, by the way. I'm preaching for something today. Your best day is before you, and he's a God of promise. He saw you before you existed. He had a plan for you to change, be changed into his image. But all the stuff going on is part of his tools. Amen. The devil works for God. Oh, he took charge of the devil 2,000 years ago. He took all of his keys, bound him in chains, and gave him his orders. And the enemy can only do the bidding of the will of God. But that sounds like, Pastor, the devil is the one in charge. Nope, God's in charge. And the only way the enemy can be in your life is you have to choose to invite him into your house. Did y'all catch that? The devil can't have anything to do with you until you first give him permission. And we give him permission because we entertain thoughts we shouldn't entertain. We agree with lies we should not be in agreement with. And every lie and every thought that we come into an agreement with diminishes the miracle that God wants to work through you today. And I'm more convinced today that I need Jesus more than I've ever needed him. And I've needed him all my life. But the need of God in my life grows every day. I can't fix nothing. And if you know my personality, I'm tempted to try to fix stuff all the time. Amen. Y'all need to pray for me. But all through scriptures, there's challenging circumstances and painful events, trauma, and storms of life. And Jesus worked through everyone who was willing to trust him. If you weren't willing to trust him, You couldn't get what he wanted you to have, and he wants you to have it more than you want it. I know that's life to some people here today. You need God to show up in your life. But if you could just consider for a moment, he wants you to have it more than you want it. And that you'll truly give him charge of your life. You will let him take over instead of trying to figure out how he's going to do what, and just go with him and trust him. Wow would begin to happen. Jesus was bringing the super into the natural of every life that trusted him in Scripture, and he does it today in every life that trusts him now. Jesus did small miracles. He did medium miracles. He did large miracles. He did extra large miracles. The size of the miracle wasn't his concern. It was the one he was working on and the one he was in love with that was his focus. And the size of your miracle today is not his concern. It's that he has a miracle for you. And I can assure you what you think that miracle is, it's grander than that. You really don't understand what he wants to do for you at the level he wants to do it. And whether it's you need him to heal a migraine headache, he wants you to be healed of that more than you want to be healed of that. It's just that that's not all he wants to do. Hello? Regardless if it's the fact that you're a paralytic and you can't move and you would like to be able to have your movement back, that would be a pretty big miracle for somebody. But that's not really what he's wanting to do. He wants to do that more than the person wants it, but he wants to do something else. He wants us to come into his image. He wants to see that we're his kids. There's something about our daddy. He likes seeing his image in us. Well, I've talked to moms and dads often. Every mom and dad, they're looking for that unique likeness of them and their kids. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I've heard parents talk, and I've heard aunts and uncles talk that didn't know what they was talking about because I didn't see any of that in them. But they wanted to see it so bad, they were trying to convince you that that was there. Well, I know the DNA is. I know the bloodline's there. But just the act that we desire to see our image in our children, what does that tell us about our daddy? And to be like him, he's going to have to work a miracle in me. He's going to have to finish what he started in my life for me to be like him. I can't be like him just because I choose to want to be like him. Now, I need to want to. I need to have the want to. I need to have the desire. I need to ask for him to change me because he can work with that. Because if I don't go there, I'm not willing to let go of these ideas and these thoughts and these imaginations and these rudiments and these philosophies and this psychology, and I mean the list goes on. I'm not willing to let go of that because it makes me feel powerful. And to try to have that and miss out on the real power, that's a fool's decision. We need God. Amen? And so it's important today that we take this away. Amen? He still does miracles now, today. Amen? And he's the kind of miracle workers that he can actually heal a whole city still if the city would let him. If there was enough hunger and thirst, our community would be filled. You know, I feel good about the fact that hunger and thirst is building. People's attention is getting turned back to, I need God in my life. I need God in my family. I need God in my home. I need God at my job. I need God. I just need God. That dynamic is growing. It may not be at the level it needs to be right now, but these kind of meetings spur the miracle to manifest, stirs up a kind of hunger that we just need Jesus to show up and show out. That's what's happening right now. There's an agreement in this room, on this piece of property that God gave us, that the enemy is frustrated with. And he sees it coming like a freight train. And it's going to roll over him and make walking material on him. And we know that. So does Jesus want his followers to be living testimonies during this pandemic? What does that look like? Let's read a story of a very important person in Scripture that God really loved. Amen. In Luke 5 and 12, this miracle is kind of like where we are in our pandemic. One day while Jesus was ministering in a certain city, he came upon a man covered with leprous sores. Now keep in mind, leprosy was a disease that required social distancing. It was so severe that the person that had the disease had to, by law, shout, "Unclean, unclean," when they came out. Now you tell me how humiliating that is. I mean, that puts you in a role of being totally alienated, long, alone, depression. All kind of spirits feed on that. And when the man recognized Jesus, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and begged to be healed, saying, "If you are only willing, you could completely heal me." Now, most of us know that God can heal, but your struggle is you don't know that he's willing to do it. Your challenge is, I'm not sure that he wants to do it. I'm not. Whatever the problem is, I need to get ready for Jesus to heal me. Has anybody ever thought like that? It's silent at New Life Fellowship today. You see the trick of the enemy? That God is actually a respecter of persons, and he's not. The one thing that moves God is when we listen to what he's saying and we believe. The moment I choose to believe that I'm special to him and that I'm not some stepchild. I'm talking to somebody's here today. If you was the only person in the world, he would have went to the cross and died just for you. And in essence, he did. How you say that? Because he died for Adam. He died for our daddy, our biological daddy. Somebody should be catching this. And he wants to give an extra large miracle to someone and the other person, "No, I'm not giving them. I don't love them as much." You see how big the enemy has influence in our thinking? That some people deserve it and we don't. That's not how the Lord works. That's not how he manifests today. And follow this here. He has a special interest in people that have been alienated. It says that Jesus reached out and touched him. Jesus knows how to touch the untouchable, don't he? And said, "Of course I'm willing to heal you, and now you will be healed." Instantly the leprous sores were healed. His skin became smooth. And I'm just telling you, Jesus is smoothing out some rough things going on in your life. Amen. If you'll just pay attention, he's at work in your life. Jesus said, "Tell no one what has happened, but go to the priest and show him you've been healed and show that you are purified. Make an offering." In other words, be thankful. Be thankful. When you know God's working in your life, get thankful because something's coming behind that. "For your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, you will become a living testimony to them." After this miracle, the news about Jesus spread even further. Massive crowds continued to gather and to hear him speak and to be healed from their diseases. Amen. So, God wants to use you to be a living testimony. I remember a story that's very close to this house here. And for you that know Mike Sherwood, when I first met him, he was racked with arthritis. He was hurting. My wife can tell you what that feels like. And he had no moments of, you know, comfort. He was just hurting. And he let me know, man, I need Jesus to do something because this is not stuff. This is not easy. This is very painful. And so he recognized he needed Jesus. And he come and he visited the little storefront. And while I'm preaching the good news of the Spirit baptism, he was interested, man. Whew, I didn't know that was for everybody. I thought that was just for a select few. He said, that's for me too. And as he goes to the altar to receive the Holy Spirit, he's already asked God to heal him. While he's being filled with Spirit and with fire, he's receiving the promised one, he gets healed completely. No more arthritis. It's gone. What do you think he does? He gets excited that he's special to God. He's not ashamed. He's not embarrassed. He goes, tells everybody about the good news. He wouldn't shut up about it. He was telling everybody he could find how good God is. And by the way, he healed me of arthritis. Amen. The common thing that Mike Sherwood had with this leper is that in chapter 5 here, the two both had a need. They had a need. The key point that you should take away from what I'm saying right now is the prerequisite for any and all miracles is an impossible situation. The prerequisite for all miracles is an impossible situation. Our need is what makes us candidates for a miracle. As long as I think I'm smart, I'm not going to be changing his image. Let's just go with the mental aspect of it. As long as I think I got my act together, I'm going to miss out on Jesus. But when I come to realize I don't have my act together and I'm not as cool, calm, and collective that I'm making people believe, and I recognize I need help, I become a candidate to be changed into his image. And our world, our culture is eat up with this. We need to understand that identity and taking the moment to identify your need, you will begin to realize that God actually loves you. And his real intent is revealed, amen, that he's a God of promise to every one of us. His promises are yea and amen. Consequences from our unwise choices facilitate an unawareness of our need for Jesus often. But it's when we begin to recognize our need and ask for help that he can come and do the miracle. Unless you ask, seek, and knock, he can't do it. He put that limitation on it. Everybody agree with that? Has anybody ever heard, well, the Lord knows what I need. The Lord knows what I need, and if he wants to give it to me, he will. Have you ever heard that before? I've heard a lot of churchgoers say that. And the Lord limits his ability to be able to work in our life based on our willingness to ask, seek, and knock. He didn't say beg. Amen. What he simply says is just ask. And he's a better father than me. He's a better father and mother than you are, right? And we like to give good gifts to our kids. I mean, look, my wife, she loves giving gifts to her children, or her grandchildren, that is. She loves it. Well, she can't compete with Jesus. That's important for you to know. Because I can take her and her zeal to be a blessing to her grandchildren. And what I know about her in giving, and she can't compete with Jesus, what in the world am I worried about anything for? If she can't compete with Jesus and her ability to bless her grandkids, whoo, man, I want to get under the spot where the glory falls out. Right? And all you need to do to get under the spout where the glory falls out is take a moment and feel after him. That's what he says. Just feel after me and I will come immediately. My ability to feel after God is like Macy saying, me, me. And I tell you, when Macy says me, me comes running. And she can't compete with Jesus. Is this helping somebody? Our daddy doesn't require that we beg for anything. There is no evidence in Scripture. Oh, yes, sir, Pastor. Amen. The passage where, because of your importunity, I will do it. And everybody translates their idea of what God is saying there when Jesus is speaking. No, it is not that. God's not asking anyone to beg. What he's asking us to do is have an ear to hear. When you hear Daddy speak and you agree with what Daddy's saying, that's respect and honor to the one that's about to blow your mind with promises and with blessing. It's time for you to get a spirit of importunity in your spirit. It's time for you to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's time for you to get a resolve in your spirit about who you are and how God sees you and not take anything less than what God promises you. This is helping somebody. Let me give you some very important aspects of God's character that makes a difference in your life, because when you look at the definition of a miracle, a definition of a miracle is an extraordinary event manifesting as a divine intervention in human affairs. Let me say that again. A miracle is defined this way, an extraordinary event manifesting as a divine intervention in human affairs. A miracle occurs when God intervenes in our life with his power coming into our reality. Only God could have done that. And so the definition of a miracle has really been messed up in our world, because in the sports world, we talk about the shot. It was a miracle shot. No, it wasn't a miracle shot. Not based on the definition of miracle. Or maybe you're in class and, amen, and you just turned your paper into the professor and you say, that was nothing short of a miracle. Anybody ever been there before? Or you can go to the deli. We put miracle on bread now. We call it Miracle Whip. God wants to give you a revelation of what a miracle is today. And there's going to be relationships that are healed. There's going to be opportunities that's going to begin to manifest before your eyes. And you're going to realize, oh, that's a miracle. Because you couldn't heal the relationship. You couldn't heal the split. You couldn't heal the pain, but he could. Because it's his promise. And because you positioned yourself, because he's a God of promise, you become a candidate for a miracle. God can't lie. It's not possible for him to lie. And he's not a respecter of persons. And you can go ahead and start agreeing with him. You're special to him. You're his favorite. But that ensues somebody else's less than me. No, no, no. No, you're his favorite too. How can he treat us like his favorite all at the same time? Because we're his body. We're his treasure. He sees in you his image. You're not less than anybody. And God is wanting you to agree with him today on who you really are. And so it is. Amen. Do you feel disqualified for receiving a miracle? Anybody ever felt disqualified? Well, then you know that's not God. That's the enemy. What if you knew Jesus had already chosen you to receive a miracle? These are good questions right now. What miracle do you need God to perform in your life right now? If you don't know, he wants to show you what miracle you need before you leave today. Somebody says, I know what, okay, amen. And it's going to get better than what you know. Three aspects of Jesus' character that attracts us to him and allows his miracles in our life. The first one that Jesus does, amen, it's very attractive, is that he sees us. Jesus sees you right where you are. In the story of the leper, and Jesus saw him. Jesus meets a man. He sees him. And his heart was turned towards him. When the man recognized it was Jesus, he postured himself before Jesus and he asked. Yeah, he had some conflicting thoughts running through his mind. If you're willing, you could really heal me right now, Lord. And the Lord worked with his faith in the fact that he was before him, he was postured. I need some work on me, Lord. Do the work. I know I need a healing. You must see there's other needs. Take care of that too. And when Jesus got through with him that day, because Jesus seen him, he becomes a living testimony to the kingdom of God. Does anybody want to leave here today being a living testimony? Jesus knows exactly how to get you to know that he sees you. Everyone in this room, he sees the details. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows the pain that you're suffering. He knows the circumstances that are around you. He's aware of all that. He's even aware of things you're not aware of that's going on, that's working against you, trusting him. He knows about that. He sees you. I remember when I was playing Little League Baseball. We'd made it to the All-Star. And I was sure I was good enough to play on the first string. But I didn't get to play the first game in the first string. And that bothered me because I knew I could play. I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm thinking, man, I need to be playing out there because I know I can play. And all of a sudden, in the ninth inning, and we're losing, the coach calls me and says he wants me to go bat. Well, man, I'm hot. I'm dealing with the fact I didn't get to play this game. And I looked out in the crowd. I didn't even know it, and my daddy's sitting right there. And when I saw that my daddy saw me, oh, it don't matter what the pitch is, I'm going to knock it out. Daddy sees me. I walked up, they threw it outside the box, outside the box. I almost had to step out of the batter's box to go after it. And I knocked it out of the park. Not because I was good at baseball, because I knew my daddy saw me. And when I turned to first base, I'm a little eager. I looked up there, and Daddy's grinning from ear to ear. I got to play every game I was on. I started the game, I finished every game after that. Why? Because there's something about when you know your daddy sees you, that the real anointing, the real you, the significant you, the powerful you, and you're powerful, comes out. Because I know if my daddy was batting, he's going to knock it out, and I'm his kid. And if he can knock it out, I'm going to knock it out for him because I want him to know he can see his image in me. Come on, somebody's got to get this. When you lay hands on the sick, they're supposed to recover because you see yourself as him. Come on, you got to get this, man. The Lord gave a commission to them. Amen, that followed him. He said, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you power, I'm giving you dominion, that every sickness, all sickness has got to go. Every sickness has got to go. Every disease has to go. He did not give them any indication that any diseases can hang out. All sickness, all disease had to go. When you go in my name, it's got to go, all of it. Man, what? He's holding me here right now. He sees you. Man, the first pitch ain't got to be across the plate if he sees you. Somebody missed that point. He's a miracle worker. And you've been called by his name. And the kingdom of God has come and it's within you. Come on, saints, you got to catch this. And it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You got to catch this. And when the kingdom of God came 2,000 years ago, he took his rulership up in us. He gave us identity. And we eat the bread every day, the Word of God. Not the Bible, the living Word, the voice of God. Thank God that the Bible verifies what I'm saying. Thank God there's a witness in the Scriptures that qualifies the fact that you can have an ear to hear. But God not only sees you, the third character trait of him, or the second character trait is he reaches. He reaches you. He sees you and he reaches for you. Regardless of your situation, he can reach you where you're at. Is Sean here? Where's Sean Cleary at? Anyway, if you know Sean, Jesus reached in a wheelchair. An impossible situation. Come on, a miracle. He reached into Sean's life. When Sean didn't have a promise of tomorrow, and none of us do, he reached and he touched him. Anybody know Jack? Jack's, man, he's excited about telling his testimony. He'll tell you right now. Driving down 1604, president of the Bandinos, he sees this sign, new life, and God says, it's time for a new life. And God reaches down into the depths of the darkness that was Jack at, and he touches him. When God sees you, just like he saw the leper, he touches the untouchable. And some of you believe you're untouchable. Some of you believe it's over with. I've dropped the ball. Amen. God can't reach me. And God's telling him, oh, yeah, I can. But not only can he reach you, but thirdly, he'll heal you. He sees you. He reaches to right where you are. And the reason he reaches is because he's got something he wants to give you. Because he's a God of promise. I heal all your diseases. He's not asking any one of us to carry sin. He wants to eradicate it. He's not asking any one of us to carry lameness. He wants to eradicate it. He's not asking us to carry all these sick thoughts and memories. He wants to clear the table. He's not asking anyone in here to carry a sickness for him. He come to eradicate it because he's a God of promise. He's a miracle worker. The greatest miracle that he does for all of us is the miracle of salvation. He saves us from the person in the mirror. And also the devil. He saves us so that we can become his kids. And we can bear his likeness. And when someone is in your path, they see him. They don't see you because you bear his likeness. And you have a message that you get with him all day long. It's a message of hope. It's never derogatory. It's never doubt. It's never fear. It's never unbelief. Every time he speaks to you, it's always in the slant of good news. We've seen enough bad news and we've heard enough bad news. We've only got time left to give away the good news. Several of you need a big hug from heaven today. And somehow you're tracking to the point that you're realizing this is a promise. This is a promise. And it's not on me to try to figure out how he does it. He don't want you figuring out how he does it. You're special. Just feel. Spend time with him. Whew. Host him. That's it. Let him pick you up, put you in his lap. Let him bounce you on your knees, his knees. Let him give it to you. Don't argue with him on how you're going to receive it. Just receive it. Is the Lord speaking right now? This is not Dwayne Lowe's truth. This is not Dwayne Lowe's Bible study. This is Daddy talking to all his kids. And I just happen to be in this slot right now where he's encouraging you to believe what he's saying, not what I'm saying, he's saying. You're special. Could we stand?